Today on Straight Talk Africa, Ugandan Foreign Minister Sam Kahamba Kutesa. Among other priorities, the outgoing president of the 69th session of the United Nations General Assembly talks about his efforts to reform the Security Council. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, September 16th. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we have a conversation with Ugandan Foreign Minister Sam Kutesa, the outgoing president of the United Nations General Assembly.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share some thoughts from our audience on the United Nations in general and our guest in particular through emails, Facebook, and tweets. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, this week, UNGA President Sam Kutesa handed over the leadership of the world body to Denmark's Mogens Lykketoft. Like his predecessor, Mr. Lykketoft assumes the position at a time of great challenge, but says he is committed to action. My colleague Paul Sisco has more.
Uganda's Foreign Minister Sam Kahamba Kutesa was elected President of the United Nations General Assembly's 69th session on June 11, 2014.
One of the priorities I highlighted for this session is continuing focus on the revitalization of the General Assembly and the reform of Security Council.
He assumed office at a time when a quick-spreading Ebola outbreak was threatening West Africa. There was a great need to set the path for further sustainable development goals, building on the expiring Millennium Development Goals, and hundreds of thousands of Syrians were fleeing the civil war in their country for Turkey, Jordan, and Lebanon. Now the focus of the refugee-migrant crisis has shifted to Europe, where EU leaders are struggling to develop solid plans to handle the massive influx of people from Africa and the Middle East. Under Mr. Kutesa's watch, the UN Mission for Ebola Emergency Response was established. There is now consensus on the Sustainable Development Agenda. Mr. Kutesa says climate change concerns and private sector funding must be considered for gains to be made at ending hunger and poverty by 2030. Among Mr. Kutesa's top priorities, advancing gender equality, setting the world on a more sustainable course, and reform of the Security Council. For more than a decade, UN members have called for Security Council reforms and argued over how to reform it.
Those against.
Critics say the 15-member Security Council is undemocratic, unfair, and fails at its peace and security role mainly because of the veto power granted only to Russia, the United Kingdom, France, China, and the United States.
The draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of permanent members of the Council.
We must be willing to make bold steps to transform the United Nations, including the Security Council, in a way that reflects the geopolitical realities of the current world. The decision that has been adopted today is an important step towards the ultimate objective.
In a landmark decision Monday, the UNGA unanimously endorsed President Kutesa's draft document establishing a text-based survey and formal format for negotiating Security Council reforms. Options include more members from regions underrepresented and changes to the veto powers that many say are unfair and threaten the effectiveness and the relevance of the United Nations. Paul Sisco, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Now joining us here in our Washington studios is our distinguished guest, the one and only Sam Kutesa, the Ugandan Foreign Minister and the outgoing president of the 69th session of the UN General Assembly. Well, what can I say except, of course, to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you, Mr. President, on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Thank you, Shaka. It's a pleasure for me to be here and also to reconnect with you personally.
You're most welcome, sir. Mm. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a call, a chance to call and talk with our guest. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. Let me come back to you immediately. It is obviously a very long way from Masaka, from Ankole to Washington, isn't it?
It's more than 10,000 miles.
More than 10,000 miles. And of course, you've been at the UN.
Yes.
You remind me of a time when some of us were still young in primary in the 60s, you know, learning civics and hearing about an important institution called the United Nations Organization. At the time, it was led by Dag Hammarskjöld. How does it feel like for a kid, frankly, from Uganda, to later find yourself in that important Manhattan building and being called Your Excellency, Mr. President? Obviously, the most powerful individual, at least symbolically, during that year in the world. How does it feel like?
Well, first of all, Shaka, thank you for having me here, as I said, and I'm delighted to be on your show and to reconnect with you. Now, regarding the rise from Zimbabwe, Masaka, to the United Nations, I want to say that there is a combination of luck, there is a combination of circumstances, and there is a combination of ability as well, if I may say so.
Correct.
So all these put together, I've been able to become president of the United Nations General Assembly 69th session. But let me say this, that I had the endorsement of my continent, of Africa, and I'm delighted that they were able to support me. And then I was elected by acclamation by the world body.
Mm-hmm.
Without the endorsement of my continent, I would never have gotten here. So I'm grateful to my country, Uganda, for nominating me, my continent for endorsing me, and the international community for electing me by acclamation.
Mm.
How does it feel?
Yes.
It is both a challenge and an opportunity. And a challenge because you're now dealing not with issues of one nation, but 193 nations with varying interests and objectives. So it's a big challenge, but it's an opportunity also to see how universal humanity aspirations are, how similar they are if you work towards them with diligence, honesty, and I think even maybe to use your word here, since you are straight talk, straightforwardness. So it is a challenge, but that opportunity that I was granted, I think has been a whole life experience in just 1 year.
You summed up, of course, your journey very nicely. You talk about circumstance, you talk about luck and some ability. But in fact, if there was a kid in Soweto, South Africa, or Zimbabwe, where you came from, or Kabale in southwestern Uganda, and wanted to follow in your footsteps, wanted to be like you, what would you tell that kid to do? Because frankly, there must be at least something like a secret or a magic, sort of magic bullet behind your success.
There is no magic. Let me be open with you, Shaka. It is simply that I have served in my country. I have been politically aware since my youth. I've been interested, as you said earlier, since we started learning about the United Nations and other international organizations, I've been interested.
Mm-hmm.
I've been an active participant in my national politics, in regional politics, and even continental politics. So what would I tell him to do? One, I would tell him to be active in your own community, active in your own country, active in your region, and eventually you'll discover that wherever you come from, the opportunity can present itself. And by the way, one thing I would tell that young boy is that when we're reading about Dag Hammarskjöld, he too came from some village.
That is correct.
He came from some village, and probably as humble beginnings as any one of us or any one of those boys. So look ahead. The future is in your hands. Don't think that it was created for other people. That's the advice I would give that young man from Kabale and Sembabule.
Very interesting. And perhaps, of course, you could also give that advice to a young girl.
Yes, of course, young girl, boy, yeah.
Especially given that I think since its founding, we have yet to have a Secretary General who is female.
But yes, that's true. But let me say also that during my session, the 69th session, we have now passed a resolution revitalizing the working of the United Nations. And one of the issues that has come up mm-hmm. is selection of the Secretary General. The UN, United Nations General Assembly, is now going to take a bigger role than it has ever done in the past, because it was really more exclusively the work of the Security Council. And we have also included in that resolution that the appointment of the Secretary General must take into account gender and geographical balance. Mm. So that's opening yet another gate for women.
Walk us through, if you can, through a day in the life of UNGA President Sam Kahamba Kutesa.
Yes. Well, the United Nations office is open at 9, but my day starts very early because of time differences. Mm-hmm. You start at about 5:30, 6 o'clock, to be able to catch up with events in different time zones. And by 8 o'clock, I'm in my office. I have work that I have to do in my office, mm-hmm. Some of it to implement resolutions that were passed in another session before me, others to make sure that the Secretariat is being guided on what the Assembly has said. And then 9, the office opens and my people come in. Mm. Then we go through the agenda for the day. And normally at 10 o'clock, you have sittings of the General Assembly or of different committees. And so you attend and chair them. And then you have lunch at about 1. And then you resume at 3, other work, other meetings. But there are many side events and side meetings as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. In your own presidency, you have thematic debates that you pledge to, you plan and pledge to to call high-level events. In my case, I had several. I had climate change as a thematic debate. Mm-hmm. I had empowerment of women and gender balance. I had one on religious tolerance and fighting extremism. I had one on the relationships between the United Nations and region and sub-region organizations. Mm-hmm. I had another one on I think it was more to do with the reform.
Security Council reform.
So these at different times, not every day, but you have these events to which you have to attend, chair, and organize.
Very interesting. Yeah. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter. And we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Sam Kutesa or Sam Kutesa. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
Here are some highlights of the 69th session of the United Nations General Assembly under the presidency of Ugandan Foreign Minister Sam Kutesa. On climate change, the UN obtained sustainable development while protecting our climate. It will be critical to reach an agreement in Paris that promotes the achievement of sustainable development. On the Ebola outbreak, the UN showed responsiveness by adopting its first resolution on the session, endorsing the establishment of the United Nations Mission for Ebola Emergency Response, a first-of-its-kind public health mission. The 2030 Development Agenda was a major UNGA session highlight. It will guide UN development efforts for the next 15 years.
Kutesa strongly condemned the disturbing rise of radicalization and violent extremism around the world. The UNGA held a high-level debate on ways to promote tolerance and reconciliation with religious leaders. They explored ways to foster dialogue and inclusiveness and stressed the importance of leaving no one on the margins of society.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA. This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question, keep your comment brief, and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gizuyu Ewart, and of course this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Let me come again to you, Sam Kutesa. If you were to put your fingers on it, what would you say, for example, that has been the single most important decision or accomplishment during your presidency? Mm-hmm. And also, what about the single most regrettable decision under the same period?
Well, I think the most single important success in this session, the 69th session, and it's coming to an end through the adoption on 25th and 27th, mm-hmm. is the formulation of a transformative, inclusive, and universal agenda for development, Agenda 2030. That, to me, is the biggest success that we have had, because it aims at eradicating poverty, mm-hmm. it aims at getting rid of hunger, and for the first time, unlike the MDGs, Millennium Development Goals, we are addressing development holistically in its three dimensions. Mm-hmm. That is the social dimension, the development dimension, and the economic dimension, but also the environmental dimension. So I think for me, this is the greatest decision that we've been able to make this year. If you want to know what my greatest disappointment, actually it is lack of a decision. The lack of a decision on ending the violence that we see. The United Nations has not done enough. The international community has not done enough to stop the violence we see in the Middle East, in North Africa, and in those regions.
I see. Let's go to the Sustainable Development Goals. This effectively replaces what used to be called the Millennium Development Goals.
That's correct.
Now, the MDGs, the last time I checked, were 8. But the SDGs are supposed to be 17?
That's correct.
Why?
Why? Because, as I have said, we have added another dimension. In the past, we are dealing more with social issues, education, health. Now we are adding infrastructure. We are adding the environmental aspect of development. Because if we don't attend to our planet, mm-hmm. there can't be sustainable development. We can have development, yes, but without attending to the climate change issues that are now really a defining challenge of our generation, we cannot have sustainable development. So we have added another aspect, and we have broadened them, and it's 17 goals and 169 targets. We are also in the process of creating indicators, and these indicators will be, I think, out by March. The purpose for this is to see that we monitor implementation. Say, where are you failing? Well, what is happening, and why is it happening, mm-hmm. so that we can take corrective action as an international community. So I think the goals are larger because we are addressing a more transformative and a more universal agenda than was originally envisaged in the MDGs.
Now, as the piece pointed out earlier, there is, of course, the thinking out there that the United Nations, and particularly the United Nations Security Council, is undemocratic. There is also a perception that people who work for the United Nations, they earn plenty of money, but frankly, they don't produce anything for that matter. There are people who exaggerate to the extent that the international taxpayer does not get his or her tax value really out of it. Given your experience, how would you respond to that?
First of all, nobody can deny the fact that the UN Security Council is undemocratic. It is, otherwise it's composed of five permanent members only.
Correct.
And another up to 15 who are just temporary, coming in every 2 years.
And have no veto
and
power.
Have no, they don't have equal powers. So there is no doubt that there is a need to reform the Security Council to make it reflect the world, geopolitical circumstances of the world. As I say, when the UN was formed, there was only 51 countries.
Correct.
We are now 193.
Correct.
The Cold War came and went. Economies have come up. Countries like in the whole of Africa when it was formed were colonies. They are now independent nations. Surely there is a new reality that now must come, and the Security Council and the UN must be made fit for purpose. And therefore it must be responsive to the current realities of the geopolitics of the world. So there is no doubt that there is a need for reform because it's not democratic. Your second part of the question, that the UN has a lot of money, people get earn a lot of money, and they do not deliver. I think the UN has delivered on a number of things. If you look at the role they play in UNESCO, if you look at the role they play in UNICEF, if you look at the role they play in World Food Program, if you look at the role they play in the refugee, the NHCR, in the WTH, there's tremendous work that is being done. Can they do more? Can do they better? Yes, of course. And I think there's a need to always improve. But there is no doubt that there are a lot of achievements and a lot of work that has been done by the UN. But I'm sure there's room for improvement.
What about the UNGA? To what extent is that aspect of the United Nations democratic, the one that you have been heading?
I think that's the most democratic organ of the entire UN.
Really?
Because each country has an equal say. Each and every country, big or small, powerful or less powerful, have an equal say. Is it efficient? Maybe not as efficient as it ought to be. And that's why we carry out reviews like this year. I undertook a revitalization. We had a revitalization committee on working of methods of the UN General Assembly itself, budget delays, fifth committee work. All these are important things that we need to work on. Following through and saying that its resolutions, which it passes, are implemented, that they are not just a piece of paper that is ignored. How do they relate with Security Council? I was talking earlier in a small interview about the selection of a Secretary General. Now the next step for the selection of the next Secretary General, after the reforms we passed this year, the General Assembly is going to be more involved. It's going to have interviews with candidates so that they tell them their programs, what they want to do. They'll be involved in the selection process. The names will be submitted on the basis of a letter of the president of the General Assembly and the president of the council. These things were not there before. So it is an organization that is in motion and needs to continue to be revitalized, reformed, to make it fit for purpose, as I said.
What about power in terms of its relationship with the Security Council? To what extent, frankly, does it really command any power, frankly? Because it seems to me most decisions, if not all, actually come out of the Security Council, which of course is run by the five permanent members.
Yes, you're right. Look at the charter. The charter establishes, well, first of all, the UN is created for three major reasons. One, maintenance of peace and security in the world. Mm-hmm. Two, development. Three, maintenance of international law. And so you have the General Assembly, you have the Security Council, you have the International Court of Justice. Now, in terms of power to do things on peace and security, maintenance of peace and security, mm-hmm. clearly the Security mm-hmm. Council has overwhelming power. The role of the United Nations General Assembly mm-hmm. is minimal in that area. It does make recommendations. It is needed sometimes to pass certain budgets, but the decisions are made in the Security Council. That's why there is a need to reform it so that it's more representative.
Talk to me about the veto power. How come only one country, for example, out of five, can actually make things not happen? I mean, look at Syria, for example. If you had an environment whereby, for example, the UNGA could override a veto with two-thirds of its membership, we would be talking a different language, correct?
That's correct.
Why can't we have a veto or vetoes being overridden, just like we have here on Capitol Hill?
Yes, but let me say this to you, Shaka. The framers of the charter made it in such a way that the power is entrenched in the Security Council. Even to amend that charter mm-hmm. has incredibly long processes. You need ratification in different capitals by the same people from whom you are taking the power.
Oh my God.
So it's a bit of a Hyperion task. But I think everybody is cognizant of the need. And for me, the veto, I think there should be no veto because sometimes it hurts. Mm-hmm. Countries, as you mentioned, in that case and in others. Mm-hmm. But if there is a veto, then whoever is a member should have it. Mm-hmm. There's now a discussion about even while you still have the veto, to sort of redefine mm-hmm. the circumstances in which it can be used.
Correct.
For example, there is a human disaster, if there is genocide, mm-hmm. if there are things that really violate all the norms of humanity, mm-hmm. I think those should be excluded from areas a veto is exercised, even if we are halfway through the reform process.
What about regionalizing the veto? I mean, for example, the way the situation is today, Africa and Latin America, the last time I checked, are missing in action. And Europe, in fact, is represented by three countries, if I am correct.
You can't regionalize it without amending the charter, without reforming the whole process. And that's why we are saying that Africa should have a greater say. We are 54 countries with 1 billion people without a seat. South America is a big continent without a seat. So we need... When you talk about regionalizing it, you're right. Talking about reforming
the
organization so that we can have a say in conduct of world affairs. And it is amazing, Shaka, that about 75% of the decisions made by the Security Council in any 1 year are about Africa, and Africa is not there.
It's not on the table, just like Africa, of course, wasn't in Berlin in 1884-85, when it was obviously being partitioned among European powers.
That's right.
You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa, and we'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariam Jaro. Take it away, Mariam.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan in Liberia who responded to our question of the week.
Mohamed Ahmed Mansour in Monrovia, Liberia writes, I would like to commend Sam Kutesa for the splendid performance of the UN General Assembly during his tenure as the 69th president of the world body. He fostered international cooperation with regional bodies such as IGAD, and he helped build an effective machinery to battle Al-Shabaab in Somalia, Boko Haram in Nigeria, and to help resolve the conflict in South Sudan. Ebola developed as a major concern, and appreciation was expressed for the initiative taken by the UN General Assembly to coordinate support to the countries affected by the deadly disease.
Pope Francis is coming to America. VOA follows the Pope's historic visit from Washington, D.C., where he'll address Congress, to New York City, and on to Philadelphia. VOA's coverage of Pope Francis' historic visit to America, beginning Tuesday, September 22nd.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you indeed, Esther Githu Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa. Live from Washington, once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Sam Kutesa said that one of his priorities during his term was to ensure an agreement on new UN goals to fight poverty and preserve the environment. And as part of the Millennium Development Goals, he formally introduced a negotiating document to reform the UN Security Council to include newcomers. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, asking, how effective was he as the president of the 69th session of the United Nations General Assembly? Well, thanks for using all our social media platform to communicate to us. Let's begin with a comment from Goodwin Ngalia from Buliza, in Uganda, who writes, I don't see any seriousness from UN President Sam Kutesa. He's failed to advise his country, Uganda, to deepen its democracy and the rule of law. The Ugandan police are working as personal aides to the ruling NRM party rather than working for ordinary people of the country. President Yoweri Museveni has no plans of having democracy in the country. Well, that might be a little bit more of internal politics in there. Well, another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA Sam Kutesa or hashtag Sam Kutesa. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. Let's go to a tweet from Wako Joel from Kampala in Uganda, who writes, for sure, I don't know what Honorable Sam Kutesa has done at the UN. I never followed him. I may need to be reminded. Well, we have a couple of more tweets from Bubakar Ndiaye, this time first asking this question. What are the best measures the United Nations body should do to empower youths in the Gambian soil? And his second question is, how can the Gambia have a UN youth representative? Because youth know the problems of every state, of every day. Well, Shaka, great questions there for Mr. Kutesa. Your take.
Very interesting, and why not your reaction, President Kutesa?
Well, first of all, I think that every country has its own youth councils, and they must develop a youth program within the country. But at the UN level, there is now a special envoy for the Secretary General in charge of the youth. And now we are building on an international, at the UN level, to connect with the national levels, so that there is a continuous forum for the youth to express themselves, even at the UN. And even in the new development agenda, one of the key elements is to find ways of creating employment, especially for youth.
Mm.
And I think this is the biggest challenge that most developing countries face today. There is a population dividend. There are many, most of our populations are young. We are making strides in building our economies, but they are insufficient to build sufficient jobs market.
Mm-hmm.
We need to retool our youth, and we need to redirect them and work on getting employment opportunities.
What about this email from Uganda, which talks about the gentleman says he doesn't really know what you have been up to because he has not basically been following you. Does that mean perhaps that there is a message deficit, or the institution perhaps has not been able to promote whatever activities you were involved in, or at least promote adequately?
It is possible that what we've been doing at the UN has not gone into all other countries for people to domesticate, as it were, the works of the UN.
Mm.
But I'm surprised by the Ugandan friend who's tweeted this.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone home 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
I have held a public debate informing them about SDGs in the Kampala Conference Center.
Right.
I have gone on television twice. Then I have also organized a meeting between the Secretariat at the UN and our planning authority,
right,
and the Ministry of Finance and Foreign Affairs. It is a pity that my friend was not able to see those, but maybe it is what he's even at, in other countries where I haven't been.
Yes,
there may be a deficit in communication.
And at least for now, he's either watching you, listening to you, or basically interacting with you on the internet. Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with our audience, please?
Absolutely, and I certainly hope that our Ugandan friend tuned in today, and I'm sure there's a lot to learn. If he didn't know before, he can find out today and certainly follow up on the work of Mr. Kutesa. Let's move on to a posting from Robert Jape Eshun of Lira in northern Uganda, who writes, as much as Kutesa was endorsed by Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni, on political and tribal issues, he has worked tirelessly to bring an international body like IGAD into the fight against Al-Shabaab in Somalia and Boko Haram in Nigeria. Well, another Facebook comment comes from Cherub Cedric Kandi of Kampala, again in Uganda, who says, it was nice for Uganda to be represented at the UNGA by Sam Kutesa. His tenure was neither good nor bad, but he deserves credit for what he achieved, although he would have done more if he were to be given more time. Well, I hope Mr. Kutesa is not going to be like changing, the term limits here at the UN, but certainly very complimentary comments here. Your take.
Your comment, Sam Kutesa, would you have shifted, for example, political constitutional goalposts if you had a chance to stay for another term?
No. I wouldn't do that. First of all, I want to thank Robert from Uganda, who thinks... Robert from, I think, from another country, who said that during this year we have had Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab. Acting on tribal lines.
Yes, yes.
It is true that we have had, not really on tribal lines, this time these are people who are misusing religion. They tell lies that they are fighting in the name of religion.
Mm.
And actually they are misusing religion.
Mm.
So it is not that they are just, it is tribal, it is true. They have continued to operate, but I believe they are being weakened, and their apparatus is being dismantled.
This, in fact, was your compatriot, Japheth Echun of Lira in northern Uganda.
Yes. Now, the other question was about whether I would have changed terms.
Yes.
You have 193 countries, and I think it's a singular opportunity that Uganda has had one, and maybe it will be another 193 countries before we have another one,
mm-hmm.
depending on how it goes in the region. So I wouldn't have in any way. Besides, it is not possible, and I wouldn't like it.
Were you, in fact, the first Ugandan or the second Ugandan, in fact, to hold that position since Uganda joined the United Nations back in 1962?
No, I'm the first Ugandan to hold the presidency of the United Nations General Assembly.
Okay.
But Uganda has held positions of the presidency of the Security Council whenever we are members at the Security Council.
That is true. In fact, we did have an opportunity to interact with one of them, Dr. Ruhakana Rugunda.
He did a tremendous job at the Security Council.
Thank you very much. Mm. Well, thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, that will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa. Also, follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to our VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our VOA website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Right here, no excuses not to watch Straight Talk Africa. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, President Obama welcomes Pope Francis to Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. The pontiff is here in the nation's capital for 4 days to also speak to U.S. Congress, and then travels to New York to address the United Nations and Philadelphia for the Festival of Families. His Holiness' visit to the U.S. comes ahead of his trip to Africa in November. We'll discuss the significance of the Pope's travel. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Oscar from Tanzania. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Shaka Shali. My name is Oscar Edule, and I'm calling from the...
I am usually terrific. Go for it, Oscar. You have a minute, please.
Yes. Thank you very much for the show. Always, it's great listening to you. I want to congratulate very much Honorable Sam Kutesa, the president of the 69th session of the UN General Assembly, upon a very wonderful, stellar performance over the 1 year. The adoption of the Millennium Sustainable Development Goal to take over from the Millennium Development Goal, I think, was one of the biggest achievements under his presidency. Of course, the State of the United Nations. And I think he has also done a very wonderful job trying to bring together views of member states towards the reform of the UN Security Council. Going forward, I think if member states could take on that document and discuss with an open mind, with transparency, with the view of trying to bring democracy and inclusiveness into the United Nations and United Nations Security Council and the United Nations system in all, that would be a very good way to progress in that front, and it would benefit the world, it would and strengthen the world body in many respects. So really just to congratulate him very much for the wonderful achievement and much and proud of his work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Oscar, all the way from Tanzania. Your reaction?
Well, I can only say thank you very much, Oscar, and I'm very, very appreciative of your recognition of the work we've done.
Very interesting. The people who have, after all, actually been following. Yeah, I guess that we have to go for a break, and you're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. This is, of course, Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington.
Here are some additional highlights of the 69th session of the United Nations General Assembly under the helm of Uganda's Foreign Minister, Sam Kutesa. The UNGA launched the International Decade for People of African Descent, and it also unveiled the permanent memorial to honor the victims of slavery and the transatlantic slave trade on the grounds of the United Nations. The UNGA marked the 20th anniversary of the Beijing Conference on Women, and for the first time, the UNGA president hosted the global observance of International Women's Day. The UNGA bestowed the Nelson Mandela Prize on Dr. Helena Ndumbe of Namibia and Jorge Fernando Branco of Portugal, who have dedicated their lives to the service of humanity. In the context of revitalizing the UNGA, member states have agreed to give a greater role to the Assembly in the upcoming election of the Secretary General. This is an important step toward openness and transparency in the selection process.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Let's go back to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good afternoon, Otis from Jamaica. You are most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
How are you, my brother?
Well, I'm good. And you?
I am hugely terrific.
Okay. One question I'd like to ask. Mm-hmm. As President Muhammadu Baradai made any progress in rooting out the Boko Haram group?
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
What is the question?
Has the president of Nigeria made any progress in rooting out the Boko Haram group from the northern part of Nigeria, I guess?
Uh-huh, Boko Haram?
Yes. Has the president made any progress in rooting out that group from Nigeria?
I see. Yeah, I got it. Can you respond to that?
Well, I have no particular details of the progress made. But I know that President Buhari of Nigeria has had meetings with his neighbors, and they are putting together a strategy and a force to combat Boko Haram. And we wish them all the very best. And whatever we can do from the United Nations to support them, we will do so.
They actually seem to be making some
good progress.
Reasonable progress.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are even talking about, in fact, having talks with Boko Haram, and they are willing to provide them with amnesty, those who are willing
that's study. That's progress, yes.
Yeah, let's go to the other situation. Uganda, of course, as you know, is really a diplomatic and military leader in the East African region. Mm. What can you tell us about the recent tragedy, for example, in Somalia, where at least 19 of Ugandan troops were killed and 6 are missing in action. And in fact, the Al-Shabaab people are saying they may have killed more than 50.
Well, first of all, it is a regrettable and tragic incident for any of the forces of AMISOM to be attacked. And as a matter of fact, over the course of the years since we've been in Somalia, we have sustained the least number of casualties. But that is not to say that we haven't made losses. And we've had losses which are hurtful to our force, to our country, and to the parents and families of the victims. What I say about it is, I think what is happening now in Somalia is that Boko Haram has lost a lot of territory. And as a result of losing this territory through the actions of AMISOM, AMISOM itself is spread thin. And I think the Al-Shabaab are able to infiltrate and make terrorist attacks. It's not that they control any territory at all.
Right.
But because AMISOM's forces are spread thin, there is an opportunity for them to sneak in and cause terrorist activities, just like they do to civilian targets in Nairobi, in Kenya. They have done that before. In Garissa, civilian targets. It's not an act of bravery to attack a dormitory of school children. It's really desperation, and they want to show that they are still around. So I think what we need to do is to probably get more forces in AMISOM and equip them better to enable them to move faster than to be able to cater for and attend to these terrorists, would-be terrorist opportunities for them. So I believe that AMISOM has done tremendous work. We continue to witness tragedies such as these, but it means that our work is cut out. The international community, the African Union, and AMISOM troop contributing countries should work together to enable the AMISOM troops to eliminate this terrorist attack.
What about your role in South Sudan? There have been some mixed signals really coming from Kampala in as far as the UPDF presence in South Sudan is concerned. One of your colleagues, Mr. Henry Oliema, is on record saying that the UPDF will not abide by the agreement which was made in Addis Ababa to pull out of South Sudan. And I have also seen another statement coming from the Chief of Defense Forces, General Katumba Wamala, saying that on the contrary, the UPDF will abide by the Addis Ababa agreement so long as someone can guarantee that Ugandan lives are safe.
Precisely, but I think that's the point, that Uganda is a dedicated member of IGAD. And we are actually part and parcel of the decision-making processes in IGAD. And we fully support the agreement that has been reached by the parties in Southern Sudan. We went into Uganda at the invitation of an elected government, which was facing a rebellion. And so we intervened. And let me say this, that depending on whom you are talking to, and we get praises for having intervened. We came in, we stopped what would have been a huge bloodshed. We were able to take over the meaningful infrastructure areas to enable people to evacuate. Even other nationals, Americans, British, others, would never have been evacuated from Juba if we hadn't taken the strategic infrastructure areas. We are able to protect citizens, ordinary citizens, that we're being attacked by different forces. What is our intention? Our intention is to get out of South Sudan, and actually, it is important that someone should come there to play the role we have been playing. And we think an IGAD force can come in and stop the possibility of this kind of bloodshed being repeated, number one. But number two, oversee the implementation of the ceasefire or cessation of hostilities.
How do you respond to some people who say that the Ugandan army is playing a partisan role? It is, in fact, really supportive of President Salva Kiir.
Well, we don't make any denial of that. We came in to support the government that invited us, an elected government. And we supported it, and in the process stopped a rebellion. But we are not fighting
I see.
The other side.
I see. Yeah. Let's go to the lifeline of the show again. Good evening, Namanya from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How are you? Could you please turn your volume low because we are getting an echo on the line?
Yes, it is off.
Yeah. What is your question, Namanya? You have 1 minute, please.
Well, I would like to know the impact of the sustainable development goals that you're planning to implement now. Because currently in Uganda, the Millennium Development Goals you had set like a few years ago have not yet been achieved. For example, we still have 19 women dying in labor. And the poverty lines are also still up. And I would like to know exactly why are you rushing to implement the sustainable development goals?
Thank you.
Yet the Millennium Development Goals have not yet been achieved.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad that Namanya has been following both the MDGs and now what we have evolved as sustainable development goals.
Mm.
It is true that it's not only in Uganda, but MDGs have been successful or implemented successfully in at different levels in different countries and different regions.
Right.
But in his country, Uganda, my country,
mm.
I think a number of MDGs have been fully achieved.
Okay.
Poverty has been halved. People under extreme poverty have been halved from 56 in 2000, 56% in 2000 to 22, or actually 19 right now.
Well,
it is not a solution for anybody who is among the 19. But efforts have been made.
There are some improvements. Mm. Let's go to politics. You're about to have elections next year.
Yes.
There are complaints already that the political playing field is not leveled on the ground.
Mm.
The Uganda police, for example, under General Kale Kayihura, is playing a partisan role. It is also stated, frankly, that the democracy that you have on the ground is not what perhaps Abraham Lincoln would have liked to see, a government of the people, by the people, for the people, mm-hmm. that what you have actually is a government of some people, by some people, for some people. How do you react to that?
Well, first of all, I think that no arm of government should violate the law in terms of keeping the playing field level. But equally, no political participant should violate the law either. Let's follow the law, and I urge both the government and political aspirants to try and follow the law. If you break the law simply because you think you are running as president or as member of parliament, the law will catch up with you. But equally, I think it is important that we make sure that there is no violation of the law against people who are running, even if you may not agree with them politically.
I'm sure you've been following the situation, and you know as well as I do that there is a man called Amama Mbabazi, who until recently was your colleague in many ways.
Mm.
Do you think he has been in violation of the law because he doesn't seem to have a chance to do consultation work?
What I've been reading in the papers, and forgive me because I haven't been home, just like you, but what I've been reading in the papers is that he has gone beyond consultation, what the law envisages as consultation.
I see.
And that what he's doing is actual campaigns whose time is not yet due.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guest, Sam Kahamba Kutesa, the Ugandan Foreign Minister and outgoing President of the UN General Assembly. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On a programming note, for the next 2 weeks, I'll be away on a special assignment. And on behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.